God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, as the church celebrates St. Nicholas, it is all too often that we hear many Christians complain and often voice at this time of the year that Christmas has become too commercialized, too secularized. Far too many people observe the holy day of the Feast of the Nativity without any acknowledgement of Christ at all. Everything seems to be about parties, about presents, special television specials, without any reverence to our meditation on the main focus of Christmas, basically the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, his taking on our flesh. Our world would rather spend most of its time focusing upon Santa Claus than upon Jesus the Christ. Perhaps this problem can better be corrected by maybe a better understanding of the legend of Santa Claus, where it comes from, and some of the historical basis of who he is. I'm sure all of you have heard about Santa Claus. I'd be amazed if anyone has never heard of Santa Claus. And probably most of you even know that Santa Claus was even referred to as Saint Nick, or better, Saint Nicholas. And in fact, that's where his name comes from. Santa, the word for saint, and Claus, a shortened word for Nicholas, hence Santa Claus, St. Nicholas. Now, Santa Claus has unfortunately become the stuff of fairy tales and has been influenced in many ways by some pagan notions. But St. Nicholas was a real person who lived about the early 300s. And December 6th today, is the day that the church recognizes St. Nicholas. We shall focus on his life a bit this evening and meditate and see how his life can teach us a little bit more about Christ and, more importantly, about the Feast of the Nativity, Christmas. Strangely enough, in case if you didn't know, Nicholas was born into a very wealthy family in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. Having become a Christian, Nicholas chose not to pursue a life of riches and fame. Instead, he devoted himself to the church. He eventually became a bishop of a city called Myra. Myra was a decadent and a very corrupt city. Nicholas became very well known by transforming it by his pious hard work and the preaching of the word of God. Saint Nicholas was also known for his love for those in need, such as to help out poor widows and orphan children. And as bishop, he saw to it that the church also cared for those in need, for the needy. Perhaps his giving of gifts, especially to children in need, is part of what formalized later on in life the Santa Claus tradition. However, there are some very interesting stories about St. Nicholas that stands out above the rest. One was, there was a man in the city of Myra who had three daughters, but he did not have enough money to provide his daughters with suitable dowries necessary for marriage. And without being able to marry, it was likely that they would end up as prostitutes. Nicholas was deeply troubled by this and decided to help. But he chose to do it in a way that wouldn't draw attention to himself, evidently taking of his own resources, not the church, nor of someone else's resources, but from his own family resources. Nicholas prepared three bags of gold. On three successive nights, St. Nicholas went to this man's house and threw a bag of gold into an open window, one bag each night for three daughters, sufficient to provide their dowries. Later, when the story was being told, probably in colder regions where they had chimneys, Nicholas was portrayed as dropping the bags of gold down the chimney. Nicholas, in one essence, if you think about this in sort of a spiritual aspect, bought these three daughters, you could say, out of a life of hardship and poverty, and redeemed them and rescued them that from the fate that probably awaited them. There are many more accounts, strangely enough, as tradition bears it, of St. Nicholas helping others. There was an instance of three men who were falsely accused of a crime and sentenced to death. Nicholas stepped in and spoke in their defense. and was able to secure their release and give them their lives back. Again, another interesting story of redeeming of lives. It's also interesting in some of the stories that of St. Nicholas, the number three keeps coming up. There's also a story about three orphans, three sailors. He had the three daughters and the three men falsely accused. It's interesting with this matter of three coming up because one thing that St. Nicholas did do was he was also a great defender of the Trinitarian faith. He proclaimed the belief in the one and only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as three persons of one God. St. Nicholas was one of the bishops present at the Council of Nicaea, which defended and confirmed the essential truth about the Trinity, the teaching that Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. It was in this council about 325 AD that we get the Nicene Creed, at least the concepts of the Nicene Creed, in which we confess in our worship service. Also at this council, there was a certain false preacher named Arius, who was teaching that Jesus was not of the same substance as the Father, that of this being the Son of God, basically saying that Jesus, since he was created, born of the Virgin Mary, could not be God, but was God-like, but not true God. The Council of Nicaea completely rejected this idea, that this heresy that Arius came up with, and Nicholas was probably there defending the Christian faith at that point, reaffirming the scriptural teaching that Jesus is both fully divine and fully human, one undivided person, true God from all eternity. Yes, Nicholas is and was the defender of faith, the faith in Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the only Savior from sin and death and the devil. Nicholas preached Christ, baptized people into Jesus Christ, absolved people of their sins, and fed them the life-giving body and blood of Jesus Christ, their Savior, in the Lord's Supper. This is the real St. Nicholas. Not with a bunch of reindeers, especially one with a glowing red nose, but a St. Nicholas preaching Christ and Him crucified, and caring for the poor and the needy. Needless to say, he wasn't some Santa Claus in some big red suit trying to distract people from Jesus Christ, but instead he was a preacher trying to draw people's attention back to Christ. If you notice the cover of your bulletin for tonight, I couldn't help resisting this. Out of all the clip arts that I could find of St. Nicholas, this is the one that also showed the nativity scene. Now, I'm sure St. Nicholas, if he actually saw this, would probably sit there and say, Pastor Bola, I'd rather have it be a little bit opposite, that Christ would be bigger and me being smaller. Actually, probably he would say he'd rather prefer not to be there at all, because someone whose job is to point themselves, to point people to Christ, doesn't want to interfere with Christ. But noticing our world today, and how the legend of St. Nicholas has grown to supernatural proportions, I think he could probably understand this as a good teaching aid, that the real St. Nicholas, yes, gives gifts, but what's at the base of all this gift-giving? The Nativity, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He didn't do this out of love for himself. He did this out of love for his Savior. I think it's also very appropriate that the Church celebrates St. Nicholas Day during the season of Advent, during the time in which the Church is preparing again for the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's only appropriate for the Church to sit there and to say, you know, the legend of St. Nicholas has gone a little too far. Let's reel it in and bring it back to a proper perspective. The proper perspective of saying to the world, let's see the Christ child. That's where it's all about. This is who St. Nicholas really was. The one who promoted Christ and Him crucified, not the one who was making a list and checking it twice to see who was naughty or nice. For he knew that the people who came to hear Christ and Him crucified were sinners. None of them were completely nice. They all came to our Savior to be forgiven. If we truly press that Santa Claus concept of making a list and checking it twice, seeing who's naughty and nice, none of us would be getting any gifts. We all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory, and all are in desperate need, not for an extra present under the Christmas tree, but are in desperate need of Christ's love, forgiveness, and mercy. It is by God's grace, the love of Christ shown forth in St. Nicholas's preaching and his life, that the church celebrates. So we give attention to the generous deeds of St. Nicholas because that ultimately draws our attention to the generous love that he himself received from God. It was that love of God that was working through Nicholas in his life. After all, just consider his deeds. Nicholas sacrifices and he gives of his own resources to save three daughters. Isn't that not what Jesus did for us? He sacrificed and gave of himself for us sinners to rescue us from being eternally violated by death and the devil. He redeemed us not with bags of gold or silver through a window. He redeemed us, as Martin Luther reminds us in the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. So it is that we are now worthy to prepare and to be his holy bride. You see, Christ bought us to be his bride. Scripture is filled with this beautiful analogy as Christ being the groom and the bride being the church. Again, we couldn't afford the dowry. Christ himself gives it to us so that we can be his bride by shedding of his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Likewise, Nicholas stood in to defend those facing death, risking his own name and reputation. Is that also not what Jesus did and still does for us? He stood between us and eternal death on the cross and thereby kept us from suffering the most terrible of all punishments. Furthermore, Scripture even now declares that Jesus is standing before the Father as our advocate, speaking in our defense, responding to every charge laid against us with the merit of his own blood and righteousness. Through him, we are set free, the people of God. The same love of Christ that was at work in St. Nicholas is also at work in you. For in your baptism, you were crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you and through you. The Lord is working in you so that his boundless love, which has been shown to you, will spill over to others around in giving of yourself, in the giving of gifts, not so that you can feel good about yourself and draw attention to yourself, but giving that is anonymous, entirely for the good of others. Like the bag of gold through an open window at night. That's why Christians, too, when giving an anonymous gift, might refer to gifts being given by Santa Claus. Did you ever do that? You just gave a gift to someone and said, just put on there, from Santa Claus. Well, maybe we should probably put some St. Nicholas to really draw their attention. But such a gift that is given out of a spirit of love that comes and reflects the love that comes from Christ, as Nicholas did. Ultimately, not to give glory to ourselves and honor to ourselves and saying, look what I have done, but let's look at what Christ has done for me that I want to overflow to someone else. Indeed, every present that we give is a sign of the greatest gift of all, that Christ child in the manger, given to us almost anonymously, noticed only by the shepherds that night, recognized and received only by a few throughout his life, but happened within the wrappings of his lowly humility, the Godhead dwelling among us, full of grace and mercy. Jesus is love in the flesh for you, And there is no other greater present that we can have. The love that Jesus has for us is the ultimate gift, strangely enough, that St. Nicholas also sought to give. There is no other such person. I'm sorry. There is no real, quote-unquote, Santa Claus, but there is a St. Nicholas. Of course, many people would probably say there really wasn't a St. Nicholas, but if you deny that, then you might as well deny the Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, the shepherd and the wise men. Sure, you're not going to find St. Nicholas sliding down chimneys, but you will find a St. Nicholas pointing people to where the Christ child is, showing people their Savior. And so this is why the church celebrates St. Nicholas. For we gather here in the divine service, again, to receive the gifts that God so wonderfully gives. We gather in the presence of God, not in the manger scene, but in God's presence through His Word and through His sacraments, to receive that love, that grace, that mercy that comes from Christ and Christ alone. For in Christ's presence, He dwells with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. And as we gather at the Lord's table, we receive Christ. We are partaking of the communion of saints, the same feast that we will enjoy for eternity, the same feast that St. Nicholas was also connected to, and all the saints, for they are part of the body of Christ. So we thank God that St. Nicholas lives. He lives in the body of Christ. He lives forever because, just like you, he was baptized. And he believed in Jesus Christ, his Savior, who was born on the day we celebrate as Christmas, who died as we celebrate on Good Friday, who rose again as we celebrate the Feast of the Resurrection. But today, we remember the person and work of St. Nicholas and how he would rather give glory to Christ than to himself. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.